We are in the middle of a series, really coming to the last book, or last chapter of Jonah. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 4. And we're going to get there in just a second. But I want to tell you a story. When I was a little boy, I was 10, and I had two friends. And after this had to be after July 4th, because I remember they had plowed the field up. There's a wheat field by our house, and they plowed it under. And of course, when they plowed it under, it becomes just a lot of little dirt clods. And dirt clods in a little boy's hand are just something to throw. And so we were walking by that field, and we started picking up dirt clods and just heaving them, seeing how far, you know, you can, little boy stuff, see how far you can throw it, see if you can hit a certain area. And that excitement wanes pretty quick. So someone said, hey, look, there's a ground squirrel. See if you can hit it. And so we started throwing dirt clods at this little ground squirrel. And we didn't even get close. So we got closer to the ground squirrel and started throwing it. Pretty soon we were chasing after the ground squirrel and just trying to hit it with dirt clods. And when I look back, I thought, that's really sadistic. Because we were hounding this little ground squirrel, had done nothing to us, except it was in the field at the wrong time. And I don't know which one of us, I'm going to blame my friends, but probably one of them, hit it. And it wasn't pretty. And I remember very clearly, we went there and looked at this little ground squirrel, and it's not moving well, and blood's coming out of its nose. And this is just embedded in my mind. And we looked at what we had done. We realized that we had killed this, or injured fairly severely, this little ground squirrel. And so the only thing we could do is then we decided, well, we need to put it out of its misery. So we just crushed it and actually buried it in that field. And I remember that very clearly. And I thought, we had absolutely no compassion at all on this little animal. And as we look at chapter 4 in Jonah, what we're going to find is he had no compassion at all. He would have fit right well with us as 10-year-olds chasing down this little animal, because he didn't have compassion, not just for a little animal, but for the people of Nineveh. And it really clearly shows up in chapter 4 how much he really just did not want them to come to know God and repent and to have their heart given over to him. And so when we look through, and we're going to spend 2 weeks on this chapter, we're going to look at the overview, the big picture of what happens. And then next week, we're going to kind of get into a little deeper theology behind it and what was really happening in his heart. But right now, we're going to look at least find three reasons. There's probably more, but at least three different reasons why Jonah's heart was so hard and why he just lacked the compassion that God would have each one of us have and hold on to. And so I want to open up with prayer, and then we'll look in at this chapter. And really, unfortunately, it's sad to say, that we'll see ourselves there as we just dig into it. And again, the title of the sermon series, Swallow Hard, there's a little Jonah in all of us. And when I read this chapter, I think, oh, that was just him. I'm not like that. And the more we dig into it, I think we'll find that maybe we're a little more like it than we'd want to admit. And so let's open with prayer and ask God to meet with us and to teach us through his passage and let us see ourselves so that we can become what he wants us to become. Father, we do thank you that your word is real and it doesn't try to hide the reality of men's hearts. If I had to write this about my story, I would have left this chapter out. But Father, you just show us exactly how men are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then you show us how a life with you and faith in walking with you can change us to be what you wanted us to be. And that is a reflection of who you are. And so, Lord, help us to look at Jonah chapter 4 with an objective eye, with eyes to see not just Jonah, somebody that lived so long ago, not some stinker from the Old Testament, but Father, draw us close into the text itself, that we may see ourselves. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1975, the movie Jaws came out, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, that. And to say it was a blockbuster is an understatement. In 1975, and I know that movie's so old now and that it doesn't hold the you know, excitement that it had. But when it came out, boy, it was something else. And Steven Spielberg hit the big screen in a big way, and everyone was talking about Jaws, and everyone was wanting to go see Jaws, and everyone I knew went and saw Jaws, and I was too young. Back then, they used to, if you're not with your parent, you can't go. They don't do that so much anymore. But it was rated R, and my mom said I couldn't go because it was rated R and it had gruesome scenes. And yet my sisters and my brothers were all talking about it. And I'm like, Mom, but I want to go. And she's like, no, you're not going to go. It'll scare you. You can't go. But Mom, and I don't know how long it took, but like many children today, I wore my mom out and just wore her down to fine. She said, fine, go with your sister. And so I went. And I remember very clearly that night that I was sitting. We had two beds in a room, and my brothers were in the room. And I remember sitting at the door with the light switch going, I got to turn this off. And I was terrified. Now, I'm in Kansas, 1,500 miles from the nearest ocean on a two-story house, but I'm 12, and I just saw Jaws. And I remember turning off that light, taking two big leaps and diving in the bed and getting under the covers because, you know, covers protect you from everything. And I found out that my mom was right. She knew that I was just going to be scared to death. And I remember that little head popping out in the boat and the music and that girl going swimming at the beginning and going under and thinking, I never want to ever go to the ocean again, yet alone turn off the light of my bedroom. And what we find in Jonah is that he wasn't thinking right either. And God told him that he wanted to really rescue the Ninevites. He wanted to show compassion and have a heart for them. And Jonah didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, he didn't like the Ninevites, and he didn't think that they deserved the compassion that God wanted to show. And so his heart, in many ways, was absolutely out of sync with God. His heart was just like mine with my mom, and we were out of sync. She knew what was best, and I didn't want that. And here Jonah really is thinking, I know what is best. So let's pick up the story in verse 1, and we'll read what Jonah thinks about going to Nineveh and what God would do there. Line verse 1, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And that goes off the end of verse 10, or chapter 3, verse 10, where it says that God relented concerning the calamity in which he had declared that he would bring upon them. So Jonah, it greatly displeased him, and he became angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this guy. Now, I don't think he was like, oh, please, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, you know, he's not that kind of prayer. He was angry. So, you know, he was just real. And God, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. You can see the anger just dripping out of this. For I knew, God, that you are gracious and compassionate, God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore, now, O Lord, please just take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. I think we know where Jonah is. We see that anger in his heart and that just, oh, I didn't want this to happen. He was angry that God relented. Ninevites repented, but he was really angry that God wouldn't bring calamity on him. And to say he was greatly displeased is the best way we can translate the word. And it is the same word that we read in chapter 1 when it says the wickedness of the Ninevites reached God. It's the same word. And it says the evil reached God. And so what the writers are translating here is Jonah saying it was evil for you to relent. It was evil, and I'm angry about it. God, this was evil for you to show compassion. This is not who you are. This is who I want you to be. And so Jonah is using that same word to describe, and it just really tells us what's happening in his heart and how vehemently angry he was. But it also tells this, and it really explains the whole story of Jonah, that when your heart is not aligned with God, then your life is out of sync with him. When our lives are not lined up with who God is and what he wants from us, we're out of sync. We're missing a step. if you've ever been in the military and you have someone out of sync, you have to do that hop skip. Or if you were in band, you know, you had to do that hop skip if you weren't marching along with everyone else. Well, Jonah was not only out of sync, I think he was like off the parade field. He was so far out of touch with God, and that explains exactly all he did. From chapter 1 all the way through, we understand, because he wasn't thinking like God would have him think. He wasn't having the heart of God. He wasn't in step with God, and so he was going after his own selfish heart, his own desires, and that was what dictates what was best for him. He should have listened to God like I should have listened to my mom. Just completely out of touch, one with the other. So instead of listening to God, he listened to his own heart. He listened to what was going on inside. His legs were obedient, but his heart was like, and it was completely far from where God would have him be. And because his heart was not where God would have him be, he began to justify things. Therefore, in order to stop you, in order to forestall, the NASB translated it, in order to stop you, I went to Tarshish. God, I was acting on your behalf. In order to stop you from showing compassion, in order for doing something wrong, that's really what's going on, is in order to stop you, God, I went to Tarshish. Now, that is kind of a foolish thought. How do you stop God, who's sovereign and all-powerful and all-loving? You don't. But that's his thinking, and he was trying to justify his action. In order to stop you from showing grace, I took off. In order to stop you from showing that compassion that I know you're like, I went as far away as I thought I could go, as far away as I could. And so he was trying to protect God by taking off. See, an out-of-sync heart can justify sin. It can justify any kind of disobedience. And that's true in our lives. When we're not in step with God, boy, we can begin to justify all of our actions. And with Jonah, what he was doing, he was putting a prophet veneer on things, saying, well, God, I did this for you. I know you so well, and I'm doing this for you. But he was completely on his own. And he was working out of that horrible, selfish heart that he had. But I think he had a harder, greater, bigger problem than just, you know, trying to justify sin. I think he wasn't leaving any room for God to work in his heart, because he says, I knew who you were. Man, I knew, and if you look at the words that he used, this is a description of God over and over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. He says, I know that you are gracious and compassionate. I knew that about you. I knew that you were slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness or mercy and grace mixed together. I knew that about you. And I know that you relent concerning calamity. He knew all of that about God and said, but I wanted to stop that. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted you to act like I wanted you to act. God, I knew how good you are, but I didn't want that for them. I didn't want that in any way in their life. I want my way, not your way, God. And what that tells us is that Jonah knew God, but didn't really know the heart of God. And I think there's many times in the Christian life we can know all about God but never capture his heart, never capture his passion for people, and never, you know, I know God, I go to church, I go to Bible study, I do all that, but boy, none of it translates into how I'm living my life. I look a good veneer on the outside, but God wants more than that. If we have his heart because we know him so well, then it'll translate into us doing his work and serving him. And I wonder just sometimes that if we know a whole bunch about God, but we never capture his heart, maybe that explains a lot about our life and the life of the church across the United States. And why many, many people aren't coming to know Jesus, because we're all caught up with what we want instead of what God would want. Jonah wanted them to be destroyed. And I think he relished the thought. Man, I can't wait. In fact, we're going to read that he goes up on the side of the hill just to watch. And he would have rather see them be destroyed than to repent. Now, the question I asked myself as Jonah was there, and he went out and preached, you know, 40 days and you're going to be destroyed. 40 days and it's all going to be over. 40 days and calamity is going to hit. God said so. I wonder if the Ninevites could look at him and know that he could care less for them. I wonder if they couldn't see right into his heart and go, man, you don't really care. Why are you here? And yet they still repented. And again, that's just, as we looked at last week, that's just God's grace being poured into their heart. See, when our heart is out of sync with God, I think people can see where we're coming from. I don't know that we have this deep sincerity when our heart is not pounding in the same way that God's heart pounds. And I think that Christians, we start to do things out of duty rather than out of this heart for God. We start to do things because we have to, because that's what is expected of us, instead of this, God, I love you and I want to serve you in some way. And serving you means I go out and reach people with the gospel, go out and serve people in love, go out of my way to make a difference. Instead, I think there's many Christians who are doing things out of obligation rather than just deep abiding love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And I think if we look in a church, and I'm trying not to point any fingers, but sometimes it's hard to not to do that. But I think we see miserable Christians because they're, I have to go teach today. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to show up to that event. That, I got other things to do. And I think there's not this passion and this heart for God. And it's really that selfishness. And again, swallow hard. Because we're seeing a little bit of Jonah in us. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. There are times when I want what I want instead of what God wants. And I think if I have to go during those times, then I can, I have to be here instead of want to be here. I have to go do that instead of I get to go do that. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? And that is that heart that's out of sync with God. But Jonah had another problem. Not only was his heart out of sync, I don't believe that he was willing to take an honest look at what was going on in his own heart. I think he stood back and said, I'm good. I'm fine. God, they're the bad ones, not me. So I don't think he was looking at his own heart. Years ago in the church in Iowa, we used to do at the end of the music, you know, we sang and stuff, and then the kids would come up, and we would have a children's little mini lesson there, and I can't remember if I told you this story. I've shared it because it's kind of humorous, but Grace had it at that week, and I have no idea what her lesson was. All I remember is that she had an egg, and if you push on the side of the eggs like this, they're pretty strong. Now, if you put 100 pounds of force on them, they're going to break, but if you just press them like this and you keep it even, it's hard to break that egg. If you turn it ever so slightly, it'll crack right away. And so Grace knew that, and she wanted to show strength of something. I don't know. It could have been Goliath. Who knows? But she asked the most burly guy in our audience, the congregation, to come up and said, and just told him, hey, I want you to press as hard as you can on that egg. And she didn't say, well, press hard, but not too hard. And she didn't say, keep it straight. And so he went up there and went like, and it exploded, and it shot up to his face, it shot up in the air, and came down on his head and all over the place. And after that moment of stunned silence, everyone burst out laughing. And he's like, oh, because he had no idea. And so he's looking at Grace going, what have you done to me? And she's looking like, I got nothing. I don't know what to do. And I if I remember, we just dismissed the kids. Because where do you go after that? I mean, it's like, don't mess with Grace. That was the lesson. But I have no idea what the lesson was. And Jonah, in this next section, he gets a lesson. But he doesn't get the lesson. I think he has no idea that God's trying to teach him something. And I want you to think about your own life. What are you going through right now that God's putting you through to teach you something? And I guarantee you that he's trying to teach you something. Whatever you're going through is a thing that God is using to bring something into your life. And he's good at object lessons. Whatever it is, listen. Don't miss out like Jonah did. Let's read what happened here with Jonah. Verse 4, he says, and the Lord said to him, do you have any good reason to be angry? You know, he's just fuming. And then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. And there he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So he's just hanging out looking. I want to see what's going to happen. And so the Lord appointed a plant, And it grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God then appointed a worm, and when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die. Death is better than life. Wow, what a whiner. I mean, death is better than life. I lost my plant. But did you notice when God asked him, do you have any reason to be angry? That he didn't say a word. He didn't say anything at this point. Do you have any reason to be angry? And I think that tells us a little bit about Jonah. I think he knew that he was angry and he knew it was wrong because he knew who God was. And so I think there's this ping of guilt, but he doesn't want to look. He wasn't willing to address it. He wasn't willing to answer God because he wasn't willing to look at his own heart and say, yeah, you're right, God. You know what? I was wrong. He wasn't willing to do that. What he wanted to do was go up on that side of the hill and he built some mediocre shelter for himself and he's sitting there waiting because here's what he's thinking. Oh yeah, I just went and preached throughout the whole city. 40 days and you're toast. 40 days and you're toast. 40 days in calamity. 40 days and God's going to judge you. And then he goes up on the side of the mountain and he knows that the people in Nineveh were putting on sackcloth and sitting in ashes. He knew that the king's edict by this time had filtered down. And they were putting sackcloth and ashes even on their animals, all the cows and stuff growing through there. No one could eat or drink. And here's what he's thinking. I think that's all surface. I think they're probably just wanting, because there's no other reason he would go up the hill to watch, unless he's thinking, oh, you know, they're just trying to appease God and do what he said, and when, you know, they think God's relented, then they'll go back to their wicked ways. Well, not according to the end of chapter 3. They had turned from their wicked ways, but he didn't look at that. He didn't want to see that. He went up for the fire and brimstone show. That's what he was hoping for. He wasn't willing to look at his own heart. You know, if he would have just stopped for just a moment and looked at his own repentance in the belly of the fish. You know, he was spewed up on dry ground. And yes, he was ready to be obedient. And yes, he was going to follow God. And yes, he was going to keep his vows. But it never changed his heart. He still hated the Ninevites. He still didn't want to see God's grace and mercy on them. And so who's the one that didn't repent? You know, he looked at them and they were changing. And he was hoping it was all fake. And he never stopped to look at his own heart and go, oh, wait a minute, look at me. I'm doing what God says, but inside I'm just fuming. Inside I'm just angry because I know who God is and I know what he's going to do. And That was Jonah. The shoe was on the other foot, and he wasn't willing to look at his own heart and his own actions. Again, I think his feet were obedient. I think his mouth was obedient, but his heart was far from him. It was angry in his life. And so when he saw them repent, and he was just waiting for them to just fake it out, and then God to throw calamity, he would have been happy. But that's not what happened. They really did change their heart, and Jonah was angry about that. And so God gives this little lesson. Hot, sunny day, you know, God allows his plant to grow. Now, last I look, a plant doesn't grow up over a day. So in and of itself, that's a miracle, isn't it? And so in Jonah's mind, I'm sitting here, what would Jonah be thinking? If I was Jonah and God put a plant to shade me, I'd be thinking, well, you must be happy with me. Oh, look at me. You know, I did what you wanted me to do. I'm good to go, God. You and I, we're tight still. I'm a little miffed at you, but we're good. So you must be going to destroy. And all the time, God's going, Jonah, you're not getting any of this. So then he appoints a worm and little sawtooth worm comes in and cuts the plant off and it withers and dies. And just to add a little bit to it, God says, I know what'll get you. A little scorching east wind. And now Jonah's miserable and he's ready to faint and he says again, man, I would just really rather die than go through all this. And again, we think, oh, well, you know, you moron. You know, what are you saying? You know, why would anybody, you knucklehead, why would you say something like that? Oh, it's better than, I'd just soon die. Have you ever done that? When life isn't going so good? So I'd just rather be with Jesus. You know, what you're really saying, and I've done this too, is that I'd rather be out of these circumstances. It's not about Jesus. I just don't want to go through what I'm going. And so, I can relate to Jonah. When time gets tough and things aren't working well and God's teaching me a lesson and I don't want that lesson because life stinks and it's hard and I don't want to go through it, man, Lord, just take me home. It's not, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I love you. I'm just desperate for you. It's, Lord, I just don't want to be in these circumstances. And that's exactly where Jonah was. I don't want to have to go through this, God. This is horrible stuff. And you're not bringing calamity, and I'm sweating it out of here, and things aren't going my way, and so I'd just as soon die. So again, boy, we can really relate to that, can't we? I can really understand Jonah. But God asked again, do you have any reason to be angry? Well, I sure do. I love that plant that grew up last night and was dead this morning. It meant everything to me. No, it didn't mean anything. But it shows you that he was more concerned about a plant that he did nothing for than the people of Nineveh. He missed it because his heart was so hard and didn't want really the things of God at all. He refused to see what was right in front of him because he was blinded by his own selfishness. And I will tell you that a selfish heart, a selfish mindset will blind us to a heart of compassion, a heart that God has for us. What's the lesson that God is putting you through right now? What's going on in your life? And there's something going on. It can be good, it can be bad, it can be hard, it can be easy. But I think we ought to stop sometimes and ask God, what are you teaching me in all this? What are you trying to show me about you? What are you trying to show me about me? And we ought to be looking for the object lessons because God's great at them. God is so good at bringing object lessons into our life to teach us the wonder and awe of who he is. But even more than that, in addition to that, he teaches us who we are and how our lives maybe not be in sync with his. And so look for those object lessons. But there's another reason Jonah's heart was hard. And this simply, I think this is the worst of them all, is that he did not see people as himself. He did not see people as himself. And I think this is these last couple of verses of the book. And we end with a question. We don't know what happened with Jonah. But these last couple of verses are really kind of hard to read because it shows the total depravity of Jonah. And unfortunately, again, we can see ourselves in this. And let me show you what I mean by that. Verse 10 says this. And then the Lord said, you had compassion on a plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight, should I not, and here's the comparison, should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left hand, as well as many animals? That's a hard verse, and here's why it's hard. Jonah cared more about the plant than the people. He cared more about this plant that has no emotions, no feeling. It's really just an object that grows up, and we use it, and there's nothing that we think about. When we cut down or pull a weed out of the yard, I don't go, oh, I hope that didn't hurt. It's just a plant. And God says to him, should I not care about more about the people than you did about that plant? You didn't work for it. You didn't care for it. You didn't water it. You didn't fertilize it. You did absolutely nothing for this plant. It came up one night and died the next night, and you're all bent out of shape of it. Should I not be concerned more about people than that you are about this silly plant? I created these people. I know them intimately. I know the number of hairs on their head. I know the number of days of their life. I know that they were created in my image, in my likeness. Therefore, they have eternal value. And if they die without knowing me, then they'll spend eternity without me. I know who they are. I know what they've done. I know what they're going to do. And yet I care for them because so much that I will one day send my son to die in their place. I care for them so much that I sent you to them to tell them about me. And you were so worked up about this plant. It's silly, Jonah. When you compare the two, that's where your heart is. And so I God speaking, I would give them every chance to repent. And I know they're frail, and I know they're of but dust. But I want them to know me. And you care so much about that foolish little plant. Shouldn't I have compassion on them, Jonah? Shouldn't I value them? Shouldn't I want for them what I want for you? And that's the real rub. Shouldn't I, Jonah? As much as I cared for you, shouldn't I care for them? And oh, by the way, Jonah, and he gives two alternatives. Oh, by the way, shouldn't you at least care for the 120,000 who do not know their left hand from their right? And in a Hebrew mindset, that means about a 7-year-old kid. Should I not at least care for the children? They didn't have a choice where they were born. They didn't have a choice that they were born in the wicked city. They didn't have a choice to be born into a family that worshiped false gods. They didn't have any choice. Should I not just care for them? Should I not have compassion on them, Jonah? You know, Dakota was in Lithuania this summer, and she got to go over to Poland, and she went to Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camps. And she said it was really interesting but very hard. And then she brought me back a book, the tour guide part of it, because she thought I would like to look through that. And I read through that, and it said over 1 million Jews were taken off the train straight to the gas chambers. 1 million Jews. Out of that 1 million Jews, over 275,000 children were taken off the train and straight to the gas chamber. And I thought, how could anyone do that? To look at a 7-year-old, a little kid, maybe a little older, and just see the preciousness of a child, send them right to the concentration or right to the gas chambers, have them stripped down, take their clothes, and send them to a gas chamber. I could not imagine how anyone could rationally think through that and allow it to happen. You'd have to kill me, I think. I hope, right? You would have to kill me to have that allow to happen. And yet it happened again and again and again and again to 275,000 children. And the only way that can happen is if you don't see them as yourself. If they weren't my children, what would I do if they were my children? How would I treat them if I walked in their shoes? If I was in their sandals, what would it be like? How would I feel? And see, because they didn't see them as themselves, it was easy to devalue them and see them as less than human and send them over to a place where they were brutally killed. Jonah looked at the Ninevites and devalued them. He didn't see them as having any real purpose other than for God to pour out his wrath upon them. He looked at them and thought them as a less than human in many ways. And so he could devalue them. And what he was really doing was saying, I have more importance than you. I value my life more than you. That I, as a Jewish person, am better than you. And he was one of the biggest bigots ever in his time. And if that wasn't enough to look at children and say, I don't care about them. God says, shouldn't you at least, and in some small way, even care about the animals? And Jonah didn't. And God takes it from the greatest to the least and says, this is why I love them. And I want them to know me. Because without me, they'll spend eternity forever in a place of torment. And shouldn't you, Jonah, feel about them the way I do? Because you know me. You know who I am. That I'm compassionate. That I extend loving kindness. That I relent in bringing calamity for those who repent. Because Jonah saw himself better and more deserving than the Ninevites, he could care less what happened to them. In fact, he wanted to see God bring wrath upon their heads. That's a hard one. And it's hard, I think, for this reason. Have you ever watched the news? The other day I was watching the news, and Hamas, the terrorist group in the Gaza Strip, sent 180 rockets indiscriminately against people in Israel. And then Israel responded. And my thought when Israel responded, I thought, well, you did what was right. And I'm not here to discuss the political makeup of things. But I thought, well, you have the right to retaliate. And you know what? I never once thought about the women and children that were killed on both sides. People were injured on both sides. They have bomb shelters on both sides because this happens all the time. And I thought, that's Jonah's heart. I didn't think about it. I didn't care enough to stop and say, God, I wonder what you think about that. When you see a rocket explode in a home, it doesn't matter whether they're Israelites or people from the Gaza Strip, the old Philistines of old. They're people that God loves. And he wishes none to perish, but all to come to a saving knowledge. And so for me, I have to swallow hard and say, boy, I got the heart of Jonah at times. Because I'm just thinking about, oh, well, they deserve that. Isn't that what Jonah was doing? How about in our own lives? You ever walk by and see somebody that, you know, he's a young kid in his pants, he's holding up his pants, but he's walking down the street and he has that bop in his head, you know, his hat's turned sideways and he thinks all that in a slice of bread. He thinks he's so much. And you think, well, I'll never go witness to him. I don't even want to be around that guy. I wouldn't trust him with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't trust him to be in my yard. And what we do is we say, man, I'm not going to go out of my way to share Christ. How about that neighbor that's bugged you for the last 5 years? They keep doing the same thing, and you're like, I hate that guy. But would you go out of your way to share Christ with him? How about that person that sits across the desk, and you know, young people going to school, I think of them, and I think of how many kids in the school that are belittled and made fun of, but no one would go out of their way to share Christ with them and just to love on them and be their friends. How about that guy at work that just seems to skate by? And you think, man, he just gets away with everything. But would you ever take him out to lunch to tell him about Jesus? See, that's the heart of Jonah. So the question is, who would you go out of your way for? God went out of his way, stepped off the throne, went to Bethlehem, was born in a little manger, because he saw that we have value. And he loved us enough, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we, whoever would believe in him, will not perish but have everlasting life. Do we have that heart? And see, that's a hard question. If we're not sharing the gospel in some way with someone, and I'm not talking about every day, oh yeah, I gotta go, and we should maybe, but if we do not have the heart of God to go out and take the gospel, then swallow hard. You're more like Jonah than you think. Because what we're really saying is, if I don't want to take the gospel, is that I would just as soon see them perish. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me. I read this and I go, oh, I might as well just replace Jonah with Larry and find that I'm just like him at times. Because I see that my time, my energies, my money is more important than going out and sharing that with others, sharing Christ with them. How about you? Who's on your list? If you had to think of somebody that I would not share Jesus with, I want you to go share Jesus with them. If there's somebody that's hard, and I thought, well, I'm not going to. I've done it 3 times, and maybe it's the 4th time. Or, I mean, I just don't like them. They'll never hear. They'll never respond. How do you know? Go share Christ with them. That's our mission. That's God's heart. And if it's not beating like that, then we're out of sync with God. And if we put ourselves in their shoes just for a little bit, and I think, you know what, that person doesn't know Jesus, he'll spend eternity in hell without knowing Jesus Christ. Would I want that for myself? And the answer would be a resounding what? No. So if I don't want that for myself, if I walk in their shoes for just a little bit, at least go and give them a chance to repent or to reject Jesus Christ. God wants us to have a heart for people. He wants us to see ourselves in their shoes. I don't know what happened to Jonah. We're not told. I hope he got to the end of himself and said, you know what, God? I'm going to go set up a shop in Nineveh and start telling people about your goodness and grace. All that you've done for me, I will tell them. We don't know what happened to Jonah. What's the rest of your story going to be? Let's pray. Father, a hard closing to the end of the book of Jonah. Lord, it's hard because we would like to point back to, 723 BC and say, boy, that guy was a knucklehead. Instead of looking at 2018 and saying, oh, God, I missed out on some of the lessons that you wanted to show me about myself. God, I haven't responded like Jonah did to the things that you're teaching me about who you are. And God, I know who you are. I know that you love people. I know that your heart's desire is for me to go into the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that, but I don't want to. And Father, like Jonah, if we say that, then we're saying, I'd just as soon see them perish forever instead of having a chance to relent or repent of their sins and to see you relent from bringing calamity into their life. And so, Father, I pray for us because I'm no different than anyone in this room. Lord, I wish I was, but I'm not. And Lord, I confess to you that there are times that my heart is just as selfish can be. But Lord, I declare to you that we want your heart. We want to be passionate about people. We want your glory to be the thing that just pounds in our heart. We want to be compassionate as you are compassionate. We want to show tenderness and love and grace like you do and like you have in our lives. And so, Father, remind us that if we were walking in someone else's shoes, and they don't know Jesus as their Savior, then their eternal destiny, make that real in our life so that we can look at them and say, I have to go share. I have to tell. I have to go in some way, in some small way, maybe some bigger way. Maybe it's just a flat out, listen, you need Jesus. But in some way, to go out and speak the truth with great kindness and great compassion and great love and tell someone that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him, then eternity awaits you that is awful. And so I beg of you, as Paul begged people, please, please, please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So Father, stir our hearts to that end. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.